And good morning. It's January 1st, 2025, and we welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this morning. And if I can push the right button, we'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And I believe Zach's going to try to join us this morning. And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for being here. Josh, why don't you kick us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the love and the mercy that you extend to us every day, Lord. We thank you for that forgiveness that washes our sins away, Lord. We thank you for that precious blood spilled for us. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins, that you cleanse us, purify us, perfect us, Lord. On a personal level, and also we cry out for that forgiveness for our country. We know that there is an awakening happening, and we just pray that you are the center of that awakening, that revival, Lord, and that our country would go back to being good again, Lord, that we would look to you as our light to shine and to light our paths and lead us in the direction we should go. Lord, we do lift up this broadcast this morning, Lord, pray that it be a service to the remnant. Now, those things in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Josh.
Amen.
Appreciate that. Well, is there anything to start off with this morning?
When you center your mindset around Romans 8:28 and the fact that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, it really changes the way that you see things, the way that you perceive, we normally talk, point out and make sure that we're not selling some package of fear or doom and gloom or whatever, but when you're grounded on that scripture, whenever you start with, okay, this is where I'm going to start my day at, and, I know this. I've got this promise from God. It affects the way you think. It affects the way you see things.
It does. It really does. I know it makes a difference for me. A lot of times, sometimes you just got to stop and see, and it's like the world would say, hey, you got dealt a bad hand, or, something, this happened, but when you have that mindset, you can overcome a lot of different things. You can stop and you can think about, okay, maybe God's protecting me from something else down the road. I was headed down, trying to get up to Cheyenne, the other night, and, it was one thing after another just kept happening. And it's just like, okay. I did not end up making the trip, and had to stop and think about it, and it's like, instead of being disappointed that I couldn't get up there and couldn't get done what I needed to get done, it was like, okay, thank you, Lord, for protecting me from whatever is out there where I'm not supposed to be on the road. And you've got to have that mindset, and I think that this is one of those scriptures that, if we believe it, it's one of those scriptures that's only obtained through faith. If you don't have faith, you can't know that he's working all things together for good.
And you don't have a clue, how many times God has delivered us from whatever catastrophe that we think it's a bad thing. Oh, I had a flat tire. I run whatever. Truck broke down. Whenever a mile up the road, you could have been dead.
Right.
You don't know it, but he spared you from that. So when you take that and you say, I had a flat tire today, and then once I got the tire back going, then my truck broke down. That's back to Pastor Peter's talking about never had a bad thing happen to him. You just don't know, and we don't know. We're not capable of that much knowledge and understanding. We've got to trust in him. And whenever you do look at it that way, it's so much easier to be happy and joyful and be free, because we don't pray without ceasing. That's the doesn't mean actually be praying with your words every single day, minute of the day, but, you know, we pray for God to guide us and direct us, right, to be able to hear. Second part of that scripture a lot of people miss is those that are called, you know, and we want to be called. We want to be those ones that are trying to be obedient, that are being useful to Him, whether it be in His faithful servant. And it just makes it better and makes it easier, and it's one of those keys to unlocking happiness in the world today.
Yeah, it really does.
More, and you know, it tells us that he works it all for good. It's not that he takes the problems away. He takes those all things and doesn't give them to us. You know, I mean, it affects us. You know, whether it's the economy or health issues or you know, just whatever it is, family issues. I mean, we all have them, just like everybody in the world does. But I think Psalms 34:19 goes along with that. It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all." And I think that ties right in with that Romans 8:28. That, you know, it rains on everybody. This life, that's a four-letter word. I mean, it's a great life, and we seek that abundant life and the joy. But sometimes you just have to, like you're saying, Josh, you know, Lord, I know your word is true. I'm going to choose to love you and believe you're going to work it all for good. I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't understand it, but I'm going to go with it. And when we do that, it, you know, his word is true. He does deliver us from those things. And that's a huge relief, a huge, you know, comfort in the mess that we live in today. It really is.
When you ask people they want to be weak or strong, they're always going to tell you they want to be strong. Nobody wants to be weak. Same token, you ask somebody, well, do you want things to go smoothly, or you want to fight it, have to just struggle? And they say, well, I want it to be smooth. You know, I want it to be easy. Well, they don't go together. Easy and strong don't go together. Easy and weak go together. And hard and a challenge and work and strong go together. And that's just the way it is. I mean, we see it time and time again throughout the Bible that these men that are great men, they start out in their training doing hard things, choosing to go down the hard road. But through that and through their diligence and keeping their eyes on God, they're able to be stronger and overcome and be useful.
Amen. I agree. You know, I mean, and how many times, Josh, have we seen that in our lives where just, you know, God's given us these detours and, you know, how many times have we got mad about these detours or upset about these detours that God puts us on until we actually realize that he's the one that's doing it to us?
And then you feel absolutely silly after the fact, and you're just so thankful that he did put you where you were. So I just wanted to, like, to, I guess, to start out with that this morning before we start talking about the news, because there is so much going on. But just be clear of the light of the way that we're looking at all these things. You know, we're supposed to be knowledgeable. We're supposed to know what's going on. But also, too, it's based on a faith that God's got us, and it's going to be good. We're going to prosper. We're not just going to survive and make it. Not, like I said, that don't mean it's going to be easy. But we're going to make it.
Well, and that's the attitude that people should have had. You know, before the election, you know, people had their minds made up that if this election doesn't go this direction, then we're lost. No, it doesn't. God didn't need an election to take care of his people. He would have still worked things together for good for those that loved him.
What you got, Mr. Paul?
Yeah, I'm listening real good. No, you know, a lot of anxiety is us trying to drive our own bus instead of God's, you know, and there is some nutritional things that cause anxiety too, but a lot of it is we want to do it our way. And the thing is, it isn't our way. Life is stress. It's how you deal with it. You know, blessed are my afflictions. That was a huge verse in my life. They're there for a reason. And it seems like when you get that attitude, you don't have as many of them. So, I don't know. Yeah, we're in perilous times. There ain't no two ways about it. You know, God's going to melt down who our people are his, and you're going to have to make a choice who you're going to follow, you know. And everybody here has made that choice and more need to make it, and I think it's on the horizon.
A lot of opportunity. And isn't it amazing just the way that, I say amazing, awesome, probably a better term, but we've got that story of the, you know, the 11th hour and the one that comes in that just slides in as the door's closing, Indiana Jones, you know, he grabs his hat or whatever before the door closes, gets the same pay. You're entitled to the kingdom just as much, maybe a little more than the guy that's been there working the whole time, you know, and that's a blessing for me to think about. And that, once again, gives you hope that, you know, these people can fully be saved physically, spiritually, all above, and not only just make it, but prosper as well and have their place in the kingdom.
You know, I think every man has a calling, and your talents will probably detect you what you're supposed to do. I mean, I've seen there a lot of people want to be missionaries, but they shouldn't be, you know, and it's God's calling. You know, God talks about the prophecies that I didn't call them. They have their own theology. I didn't call them. They're not mine, you know, and you got to find out what your calling is. You know, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the kingdom of God than have all financial prosperity of the world. But and there again, what is prosperity? True prosperity is children and family and debt-free. That's prosperity. Because there's no end to greed.
Well, and one of my things is I'm really good at making fakes. Thankfully, he's kept me around through a bunch of them, and I try to tell other folks, you know, hey, pretty sure if you do it this way, this is what you're going to end up with. And that's back to that iron sharpens iron.
You got to know what the world is about, and then you know, you got to know both sides of the thing. Once you realize the world, there's nothing but the world, and you're one of God's, you're a different person. But a lot of the stuff we have to see firsthand, you know, and thank God He brought us through it.
Yes, sir. Hey, Tim, you're awful quiet over there. What do you got to say this morning?
I'll sleep.
I think a lot of times when we look at these sort of things, sorry, I had the butt pushed, we mistakenly think that there's something that maybe we can do directly, and there's some things we can do directly. Sometimes we're just a road sign pointing to the right direction or raising awareness of it or an aid. But, you know, I always go back to when I see a lot of these things, back to Isaiah 54:17, and that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt damn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And I think a lot of times that when you see that kind of stuff, I know it's not even really worth losing sleep over as far as that goes. I mean, God's got it. Like he's got it taken care of. It won't prosper. And I like the "and." We're going to condemn the weapon and the tongues that rise up and talk about that. They hate God. They hate his people. They hate everything that is good or decent. And they're, you know, they want to destroy it, condemn it. And that's been there. I mean, you can look around and see it going on. The funny part is it's been going on since before the time of Christ. And they still haven't won. So that's they're not going to win. And it's just like, well, God's got the plan. I don't know how long it is. I don't know how hard it is. I don't know anything, but he's going to take care of it. So, you know, I think that's always, we have a lot of verses in there that should make us happy, that should make us content, that should remove the fear and malcontent from our minds. And, you know, we just got to claim them, that's all. It's like no weapon that's formed, you know, will prosper. God's God takes care of his the sheep of his pasture, and they know who he is. So there you go. That's my two cents.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, I think that what we're talking about can apply to our health as well. I'm talking with somebody yesterday who called, and they, you know, had a stomach bug and wanted some prayer over it, and talked about, you know, an elderly person and, you know, really tries to eat well and tries to do these things and really loves the Lord and stuff like that, and says, you know, sometimes, you know, I just don't feel well. But then, you know, we got to talking about it, and it's like, you know, never had cancer, never had heart disease, never had diabetes, never had anything else like anybody else in her family had, and, you know, just went on and so forth. And I think that this is one of those things, is, you know, working those things together for good, and, you know, the blessings that we get for abiding in him and for his protection. I mean, how many times have we been around somebody that when we didn't wear masks, or when we were exposed to different viruses and stuff, has he protected us from it? Or how many times have we bellyached about us when we've gotten sick, and you know, then you stop and realize that, hey, I got this before everybody else did. I got my antibodies built up, my immune system stronger. You know, and you come back and you feel great, you know, or you have an affliction that, you know, it takes you a while to get over. But when you get over it and you overcome it, you look at the changes that you made in your life. You start working out, you start eating healthier, you start watching what you're eating, you start cutting back on your sugar. I mean, and, you know, so whatever the situation is, but you can look back on it and see how God put an affliction in your life or something in your life that you needed to overcome. I was talking with a man the other day, sitting in my office, and he was, you know, and it was that, you know, famous, simple, phrase that Pastor Peter used in, when he was talking about, being an overcomer. And he says, everybody wants to be an overcomer, but what do you have to do to overcome, to be an overcomer? And it was simply, you got to have something to overcome. And, you know, I've thought about that a lot in my life. You know, it's like, okay, God, you want to be that overcomer. You want to have challenges. You want to be stronger. You're not going to get stronger without that fight, just like what Josh was talking about. And, you know, we want to be strong. We want to be courageous. We want to be those overcomers. And, you know, therefore, God's going to put these things in our lives that we're going to have to deal with. We're going to have to, you know, it, not just physically, but spiritually and mentally. And, you know, I think that ties in a lot with what we've been talking about from church, is putting on the mind of Christ. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Zach starts every one of his messages out with that. And I really, you know, at first I didn't understand why, but now I realize it. And it makes a lot of sense, because we can't know our God if we don't know who he is. And by getting into our Bibles, that's how we know our Christ. That's how we know our King, our Savior, everything. Without that, now it's one thing. I see a lot of people out there that just, you know, all they want to talk about is reading their Bible. Reading your Bible is one thing, but applying it to your life is something completely different. I've seen a lot of people that are out there that they're like a bunch of word slingers, you know, kind of like a sword slinger. They throw the words around like this, and, you know, the Bible talks about those that praise him with their lips, but their heart is far from them. You know, it's a connection of mind, body, and spirit. It's you know, having that. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to believe it, but it's another thing to act like it.
Yeah, kind of pharisaical. You know, listening to you talk, and that's another thing too. When you get really sick, and I'm talking about whenever the hair on your body hurts, like you're really sick, it makes you thankful for all the days when you're well and you're healthy, when you're not, you know, and it helps to strengthen that mindset of what a blessing it is to be able to have whatever level of health got, you know, and for just be thankful for every single day. Once again, though, it's not perfect, but it is perfected.
Me and my wife were talking about that, this last bug that went around that we had. We were sitting there one night, and we were just talking, and I said, boy, this is right. I can't remember if I said it or if she said it, but we were both in agreement on it, and it's like, it sure makes you thankful for when you do feel good.
Yep.
Absolutely. When we talk about some of these problems that protect us, maybe on up the road stuff, and another thought I had on that was that sometimes when we have a problem, you know, somebody, how often has someone stopped to help or somebody done something? It may not be about you, but it might be about them. Maybe that was the slowdown they needed to stay out of whatever was ahead of them. And, you know, maybe they needed that blessing in their life of doing something there like that to, you know, strengthen their faith or strengthen their ability to with God. You know, a lot of times there's so many angles on that. I mean, there's just so many fractals involved in that. We don't even relate. You know, we can't relate. You just have to say, well, Lord, okay, that's was the good part about it. So, you know.
And there's example after example. One being that whenever one of our children was young, he had a lazy eye, you know, and it's had issues with his eyes, what have you. So we prayed about it. We took him to this ophthalmologist, and they wanted to do surgery. You were talking about a 3 or 4-year-old child. Took him to another one, and they wanted to do surgery and this and that. And they put him in these Coke bottle glasses. And our insurance, we had really good insurance, and our insurance would pay for as many surgeries as it took to get his eyes straight back out. They were going to cut the muscles and then, you know, sew back together as the way they were going to fix the problem. And we weren't happy with that. So prayed about it for years. And, you know, wife kept doing research and what have you, and she ran across this vision therapy deal that they had over in Europe, you know, where they're having a lot of success for. And she was like, okay, that's it, we're going to Europe. And I'm like, hold on, you know, just see if there might happen to be somewhere here on this continent that we can get this done, you know. And so we kept praying about it, she kept searching, and we found a lady, and of course, you know, insurance didn't pay for it, and so we paid a lot of money out of pocket. But through this vision therapy and them working with the youngin, you know, his eyes are straight now and his vision's great. And I tell you don't want him shooting at you with a rifle or a bow. I mean, he's pretty accurate. And, you know, here recently, so they told him he'd always have these thick glasses. Well, he's a little hard-headed, gets up with his mama. And anyway.
Well, I don't know about that.
He got to where he could put in contact lenses, and they had these special weighted contact lenses. And, so at 7 years old, you know, he was managing his own contacts, and he got out of those glasses. And but it's just a blessing. And but the point of it is we've been able to talk to and help many other folks with the same issue that were struggling with letting somebody cut on their baby's eyes, you know, and we've been able to share that with them. Yeah, it was, you know, it's hard to not be able to help your children with your hands, you know, and to have to pray and to trust in God. But what a blessing to be where we are now. And it's an opportunity through that suffering to be able to help other folks keep them from having to go through that. And Jason, I know you've been through just a ton of stuff where you learned all kind of different things the hard way, you know, but how many people have you been able to help with that knowledge?
Right.
That came from it.
Yeah, and it changes you, and, you know, it makes you do research and seek things out and search things and try to figure things out that, you know, maybe isn't conventional. It makes you think outside the box. There's a lot of things that stem from it.
And you get to that mindset where you pray about it and then you do something versus, well, you do all that you can do. And you're like, oh, there's nothing else. I guess I'll have to pray about it. You know, I mean, that we get that backwards so much of the time. There's nothing I can do but pray about it. No, you pray about it first. Then you look what you're going to do about it.
Amen. Amen.
Well, there's an announcement. I was going to do this at the beginning, but I slipped my mind. I did get a call yesterday, and it's something that I planned on addressing. And got a call yesterday from a friend in North Dakota, and was talking with her, and she was relaying information from Yori Call, who's still in federal penitentiary. And he is suffering from stage 3 kidney cancer and stage 3 prostate cancer. They were trying to address. He's been through several surgeries lately. He's in a walker, has a hard time riding. And just, been suffering quite a bit. Back was bothering him. They knew that he had cancer. I guess he'd known about the prostate cancer for a while. Was able to go in when they got him in and were looking at the prostate cancer. That's when they discovered the kidney cancer. And so it's a sad deal. Asked if it was okay if we let people know, and he was fine, and he did want people to know what was going on with him. And just talking with him, it was that it was one of those deals where don't really think or believe that he really wanted prayers for healing. It was just basically time might be up. And so I think that it's just one of those things appropriate to pray. I don't want to, if somebody's in a situation like that, I don't know exactly how to pray except for God's will be done. And so I did tell him that that's where and how I would be praying, and just want people out there to keep that in mind and pray for him like that. I believe is probably what we're supposed to be doing. Anyway, I wanted to make that announcement and let people out there know. I know there's a lot of people out there that have followed it. He did apologize for a lot of responses that he has not been able to correspond with people very well for, I guess it's been quite some time, and got a stack of letters sitting there that he has not been able to get to return letters to. So anyway, I just wanted to get that out there and let people know about that as well.
Yeah, there's stuff that we just don't control, you don't know about the history and why and all that stuff like that, but there is a time to die, and the best way to live is to be ready to die. And we can't preserve life so long, and I've been in the health food thing and stuff, and we're always trying to preserve life, but there's a time when it won't even make no difference. So you have to keep it in perspective. So Yeah, you feel bad for a guy in them shoes like that. But, like you said, Jason, I don't know how to pray for the man. Because we can't heal everybody.
No.
At least we can't. Unless I'm mistaken.
That ties right back with what we started with. That God works all things. It's not all things except death. It's not all things except cancer. It's not all things except fill in the blank. He works all things for good, for those that love him, for those that are called, as was said earlier. And, we're told to occupy until he comes, and we sure like that life and life abundant. And we strive for that, but he does work all things. We just don't see it. We can choose to love him, and I think that's what that piece.
You're breaking up really bad, Richard. You're going to have to get to where you got better service or something. I don't know what's going on.
I'll just
I'll just listen in. All right.
Hey, I was going to say that, you know, me and my buddy Will, we started praying earlier this year for Yori, and just had this feeling that when we were praying that God was going to set him free. And maybe God setting him free is a little bit different than what we had in mind. And I think that that just ties in with his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts.
Well, true freedom is a mental, getting rid of a mental bondage that we have. And, you know, that's why I think on Revelation, it says you cut yourself off from Babylon, all the crazy things I did. I just believe with all my heart that's a mental release, not anything else. You know, we're in the world, but we're not of it. And, I think we're in perilous times. I really do. But it's going to bring separate the sheep from the goats is what's going to happen out of it.
10-4.
Well, and it's an exercise in our faith, because when we come up against those things that are, you know, insurmountable, at least from the physicality of it all, we have to fall back to God's plan, God's ability, which is really what everybody's already said. But nevertheless, it's one of those, we have to stand on that fact that, well, really, there's, you know, it's up to you, God, whatever you want to do. And God can save his body if he wants. Saving his soul is already one of those deals. And, you know, freeing the physicality of it. I mean, basically, if you look at the apostles, a lot of them had rather, you know, horrific, at least from the physical sense, ways they went, but they were all joyful about it. You know, they served God, and they understood to the core of their being how that worked. You can kill the body, but you can't kill me, you know what I mean? So, and I think a lot of times that's just that ultimate trial in our faith. I mean, nobody can kill me unless God says you can. So at the end of the day, that's just the way that works. When he's done with me, I'm gone. But that's until then, I'm just going to keep on trying to do what he wants me to do.
Exactly. And that's, I think that's part of just, you know, putting our faith and trust in God, because, you know, sometimes we don't know. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, we can have is sometimes we don't know exactly how to pray. I've been using the prayer filter, trying to know how to pray. I mean, you know, it's like, I feel like God gave me a brain. I need to use it. And, you know, but also it's like situations like this. It's like, you know, I don't want to pretend like I got it figured out, you know, when you can obviously see that God's doing something. And, you know, I don't want to be caught fighting God on it either. And, you know, to really try to use that prayer filter. And that prayer filter is, you know, I can pray, I'll pray this way, but Lord, if there needs to be corrections to my prayers, please make them. I'm going to be found praying, but, you know, make any and all necessary corrections to my prayers that they may be perfect before the throne, his throne. And, you know, I think that that's a very important weapon and tool that we have access to and that we need to be using, you know, when we don't know exactly how we're supposed to be praying.
Well, I do do one thing. God hates pride, and don't think you did it. You know, I've had a couple of, well, I have pain in my hip for a while, and I've overcome it. And I don't take no credit for anything. And although I did some stuff, I said, thank God for doing it, because he ultimately allowed it, rather than, you know, my wisdom or my pride or anything like that. You know, it ain't no matter how smart you think you are. God's smarter. God definitely hates pride. He hates divorce. And there's things that he hates, and you shouldn't try to overcome it and do it your way, you know. A pride is a very destructive thing.
It is. And it's brought a lot of people down.
That's their fault.
I imagine at some point it's brought each of us down that are here.
Yep.
And you just, the first thing is recognize it and then repent of it. Change. Don't go back.
Yeah. Tim, what do you think of this whole Cybertruck deal? attack. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's really interesting that interesting thing. I got up this morning and seen a whole bunch of this stuff, and so I was kind of reviewing some of it. But we had just been talking yesterday morning about the fact that this asymmetric warfare, we've got all these millions of people in it. They've got all these EV-powered vehicles, which are basically just rolling fireballs rolling around all over the place. I mean, all it takes is a bullet or a nail or something like that in the battery zone, and you've got an instantaneous torch that the fire department can't even put out. In a lot of cases, they explode, mix them with a little water, and then boom. Here this morning comes this Cybertruck driver this guy's supposedly out of Colorado Springs, this Matthew Livelsberger. I don't know anything about him in particular, but it ties into the drones. He had in his stuff, he was talking about all these drones over there, and supposedly he was a drone pilot out of Ramstein, it was another little base over there in Germany, but he was talking about all that. There's a lot there. I'm sure it's going to flesh on out as time goes by, but the dude supposedly shot himself in the head. Well, it wasn't a terrorist attack. It was just a wake-up call. Seems like a strange way to send a wake-up call, but I think there's more productive ways maybe to do that. But point being that when we look at what's going on out there, that I'm not surprised that this has happened either. I mean, it was just a matter of time before it did. I know we've talked about that on this program before, you know, on the show, as far as the fact that we've got all these people and where they're coming over here, and it's a form of asymmetric warfare that's going on. So, and whether he was just showing how it would work, and that was his misguided attempt to do that, or whether he was actually trying to be a little more. I know Elon Musk said, well, the knucklehead chose the wrong thing because, you know, the Cybertruck just made the blast go upwards and, you know, it didn't even break the glass or anything. Or was he just trying to get some attention about the things that could happen? I don't have any idea. I don't know the guy, you know, anything else. But supposedly they found more than one manifesto, quote-unquote, letter, you know. So I don't really know. That seems strange to me. He's talking about these drones, and I'm not trying to spread fear or anything. I'm like, again, like it's really kind of an interesting, prequel that we just talked about. There's nothing to fear. All those weapons will fail, you know, and God takes, he works it all for good. So there's some interesting things coming out of that. But I don't have a lot more other than that. This guy seemed legit. He was supposedly a 18-year Green Beret in the military. Again, I have no verification on that, but he was involved in special techniques and as far as watching people and stuff. We're using drone technology over there, so it was interesting that he rented the truck out of Denver and drove it to Las Vegas. So there's, I don't know, you know, there's, he had a car shipped from Germany to Galveston, but it wasn't that one. It was just his car. So he was definitely had his car over there in Germany at some point. Just trying to kind of get some of that figured out as far as, what's going on. And there's a lot of this drone thing keeps going on. There was a big sighting of them here about two nights ago. And this was from a private party. I was sent that on an email text situation, but they had videoed them out there. There's about 10 of them up there flying around all in a line in formation. And we haven't seen anything like that for a while. So that's unique. Supposedly a cross-shaped one flying around in Colorado, right? So we got some strange things going on.
Yeah, it is interesting.
It's all fear.
Go ahead.
It's all fear they're putting in people's brains. I mean, you know, so what? There's not one nuclear bomb going to go off in this world unless God allows it. And, you know, that's always fear, fear, fear that they're selling. And so what, they're flying drones, you know? It just doesn't make, you know, and they're evil people, and there ain't one thing that I'd underestimate them on anything. but I'm just telling you, fear is what they're selling. And it's working pretty good if you're not grounded.
Amen. Amen.
Well, if you allow it, that fear will neutralize you. And, I mean, you won't be able to think or do anything.
Yeah.
Well, and we didn't have, and we did have that terrorist attack there on Bourbon Street, too. And that was a lot more than just fear for people. There was a lot of people ended up dead down there. And, you know, kind of interesting because, you know, they had those, an ISIS terror attack in New Orleans. It's just, wow. I don't know what the ended up death toll was on that either. Does anybody else off the top of their head? I know last time I heard it was at least 10.
I heard it was 15, so I don't really know what it is. But it's a perilous time, to say the least.
Yeah.
Stay away from big crowds.
Yeah. And Bourbon Street, someplace you probably shouldn't be anyway. That place is a dive.
Yeah, at 3 in the morning?
Yeah.
It's a pit.
Probably,
yeah.
Probably not a good And I guess they'll be outlawing trucks now, you know, weapons of
mass destruction.
Or mass construction, whichever way you use it.
Well, and it's interesting, U-Haul had some specs they released here, and I guess that U-Hauls, there's a lot of them going to, what would you call it, southeastern United States. I mean, that's their number one destination right now. People going from, like, the West Coast that are moving to the, you know, warmer climes, and they did. I didn't really catch the states, but the way I got it was Missouri, Arkansas, you know, Alabama, down in there, down in those kind of areas. But there, people are going that way. A lot of people are going that way. So it's like it's interesting to see some of the relocation going on, you know. But I also think that we've hit a point. Peter said this a long time ago. There's no place left to go, folks. You know, God's going to clean it up because there really is, you know, it's one of those things we're up against those times, and God's going to clean them up because they're all over the place, and they're evil creatures. So kind of coming to the point where there's just running away from it. It's not really an option to some degree. I mean, you can find some better places, and I encourage you to get there, but. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those. There's not a world that's perfect somewhere where you can hop on an airplane or a boat and get there and it's all better. So
there's no place to go. There's absolutely no place to go.
Except to God.
I mean, I mean, it's in people's genes to get away from the big city. You know, my daughter had a house in New Hampshire, and they put it on the market, I think, for $300,000+, and it sold in 3 days for $590,000. People coming out of New York.
Wow.
Well, that was a blessing, right? So.
Well, it's all inflated money. She wanted. She hates the East Coast anyway. She ain't. She ain't going back there. She hates the people there. They're just cold. She asked her neighbor to go out to eat. Just no. You know, they're just cruel, cold people.
Yeah,
but there's no place. There's no place to run. That's just the matter of fact. There's no place to run. Be comfortable where you're at. Go in your house, shut your doors, and wait till it's over.
I'm more of an outdoor person, but I get what you're saying. Try to enter into that rock. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what, you can't help no one that don't want to know. I don't care if you're dealing with agriculture or anything, if people don't want to know, you're wasting your breath. You know, even the gospel, you don't let them know where you're coming from, but if they'll precipitate or run from you just about immediately. But you can't not make anybody want to learn.
Yes, sir. I agree.
I think a lot of times what you have done is you have denied them an excuse before God in a later date. If they don't want to pick it up and make some changes or go to work on it, you know, that is that situation there where you don't have any excuse anymore. You know, you're excuseless. So that's another one of our jobs too.
You know, I've seen some reckless things in agriculture. I mean, just bugs leave, you name it, just a lot of miraculous things. But the problem isn't that. The problem is it's a fearful condition. You know, that first of all, they don't believe it can happen and stuff like that, but they just have no faith or anything like that. But the whole problem, this whole country, is a spiritual deficit. It's nothing else, and you can't fix nothing until they change their spirit. You know, you can't elect a president to change things, unless when the people wanted to turn back to God, that's when things will change dramatically, quickly.
That's how it works. There's no doubt about it. I mean, back to Second Chronicles.
And I really see that there is a lot of people that are turning back to God, and I think that that's one of the things that we've been, you know, trying to spread the good news, the gospel, and I think that I know for me that I'm talking to a lot more people, and people are stopping by, they're asking questions, asking questions on, you know, how do I overcome this in my life? How do I get through this? How do I, asking questions, asking for prayer. And I think that's one of the things that, we need to, continue to be there, ready to answer the questions, ready to pray for people, ready to try to give them good advice. I had to rebuke a man the other day about, giving bad advice. He's telling people this and he's telling people that, and I kind of called him on it, and I said, "Hey, you're giving bad advice." And, "Well, what do you mean?" And I'm like, "That's not good advice. That's bad advice. Think about it." And had to explain it to him a little bit, but it was part of rebuking him, and because he needed it. And I think that that's part of that, iron sharpening iron. We need to, be ready in season and out of season, but we've got to make sure, like what Paul says, we've got to have that good ground wire on us. Be ready to think, be the ones that make the change, instead of, I want to do this year, I'm going to do this year. Instead of, I want to be a better husband, I'm going to be a better husband. Instead of, I want to be a better father, I'm going to be a better father. Instead of, I want to be a better Christian, I'm going to be a better Christian, and following through and executing the plan. That's what I think the theme for this program, I guess, kind of turned into is, being that overcomer. It's not by might, not by strength, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. But we've got to have that Spirit inside us and follow through with it.
Then you got to be committed to it, because it's not necessarily just going to be easy.
Yeah. I mean, I remember talking with my uncle, and he was a pretty successful person, and, pretty successful, worked. He was, the first person at work and the last person to leave. And, I was talking to him, and one day we were sitting in his office on a Saturday, and he was working, and, he says, you work your butt off for 40 years, first person to show up, last person to leave, And at the end of 40 years, they turned around and they call you an overnight success. We laughed about it. I mean, but it's, you know, he put in his time and he, one of those things is he was a good man, put in his time and everything like that, still died at a far too young of an age. It was life, but you know, he was one of those people that he was always telling you, you know, nobody's going to do it for you. You're going to, if you can't get off your butt and do it yourself, then you're not going to have nothing.
Well, that can be carried too far, too. You know, time don't mean nothing to God. Even in the Sabbath day, you know, you do work in 6 days and rest the seventh. I mean, you got to pace yourself, too, to some degree. I've seen people, too, that, you know, work, that was their whole life as their work. But there is, take time to be holy. You know, enjoy this true Christian holidays. God says in Amos, I hate your holidays and I hate your solemn assemblies. I hate your holidays. I hate your church services. You're give me lip service, but you're far from me. And, you know, that balance of life, it's very important. Cause I see all kinds of people, lazy people, industrious people, and all kinds of things. And at the end, the death gets them all, you know. Just like these greedy people that run the country now, the Rockefellers and the Bushes and all them people, they're greedy, greedy, greedy. But, I mean, can't they see the death is going to get them all? Apparently not.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about that too. And it's like, you know, what's enough? But I think that that's just they're creatures of instinct. It's just in their blood. They just, you know, can't stop.
That's what drives them.
Yep.
You know, men get a lot of enjoyment out of their work. They have their calling to do what they're good at too. But there was a farmer around here. They always observed the 4th of July, you name it. But they worked all the time and stuff. But he was quite balanced in that area. He did know enough to take time off, and that's important. You know, if you're delivering a calf, you might have to work on Sunday or something like that, or baling hay or something. But You got to make hay when the sun shines. That's an absolute truth. But you also know how to relax a little bit too. That's what the Sabbath is about. Take a break and give God this honor.
The hay needs some time to grow, right? Yeah.
Well, we are just about out of time. Closing thoughts, gentlemen.
Well, it is perilous times, but we have a lot to be thankful for. And the Bible says, fear not. And I get that through your bony little head. And I'm talking to myself on that. I always got to correct myself, you know. But we're not to fear, because God is in control.
I agree. Josh, closing thoughts?
Remember your perspective and the way that you're looking at things. Set your sights every morning and commit.
Amen. Well, thanks, gentlemen, for being here this morning. And Remnant, thank you for being here. God bless. I'm going to close out with a song.
Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Can't you see that flash of fire 10 times brighter than the day? And behold, a mighty city broken in the dust again. Oh God, the pride of man broken in the dust again. Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Babylon is laid to waste, Egypt's buried in her shame. The mighty men are beaten down, the kings have fallen in the ways. Oh God, the pride of man, broken in the dust again. Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Terror is on every side, though the leaders are dismayed. Those who put their faith in fire, in fire.